and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for June 11th. It's brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and with me as usual is Jim Allen. What's happening, bud?
Hey, John. I'm doing well. Did you enjoy your press holiday today?
Press holiday. I would have enjoyed it more had my guys been crowned.
Crowned? But are they're just pretenders? They're not real kings?
No, the kings are looking for the crown. They know it's nearby. They just have to put their hand on it and grab the sucker and run off. But who cares about hockey? I always have to say, who cares about hockey other than me right now and maybe some people from Jersey. All right, well, this week we have an interview with Evan McLean of the Oryx Buffaloes, and we're going to talk about the interleague race and hit on a few other topics. So let's start clearing the bases. All right, so I got a chance to talk to Evan McLean, a left-hander who pitches for the Oryx Buffaloes, and I talked to him on May 16th, right at the beginning of interleague play when they went to Tokyo Dome to play the Giants. Okay. So the interview is kind of old. Some of the subject matter is a little bit old because they're playing a little bit different from the way they were playing before. They were just awful before interleague started, and I think they're pretty much middle of the road now. They're not great, but they're not as bad as they were. But he's enjoyed a couple strong outings recently. He tossed two scoreless innings in relief on May 27th against Yokohama. I don't know if that should earn you a start or not. What do you think?
Well, you gotta
start somewhere.
Hey, that's pretty bad. But I think it's counts for something. You know, you gotta look at what you got in front of you. And if the best you got is games against Yokohama, then you go with it. I mean, it doesn't really matter. You can't pretend you're pitching against somebody else. You just got to take the evidence you got. Yeah, Yokohama, sure. What the heck? Why not?
Well, so he earned a start and went on June 25th and pitched against the Yakult Swallows and threw mm-hmm. six impressive scoreless innings.
Yep.
So that
was when the Yakult Swallows. Hold on, this was June 6th.
June 5th. I'm sorry, June 5th.
Yes, that is correct. Okay, I thought we had the other start against the Swallow, the other game against the more recent one, right? Okay. The reason I bring that up is because the Oryx started the interleague against the Swallows.
Uh-huh.
And they lost the first game, and then the Swallows went on a nosedive, which they just recently pulled out of.
Yeah, thank goodness. Thank goodness a lot of people were heading for, I don't know, what do Swallows fans do when their team starts to lose? Where do you go?
It's hard to tell.
There's no bridges to jump off. There's no famous bridges around there or anything.
No,
you go to Skytree and try to jump out of that, but you need a reservation to do that. I don't know. Where do you go? What do you do?
Stop going to Jingu, which they're doing in great numbers this year.
Well, Evan was a really fun guy to talk to, and you get the idea, or at least I did, that he's really enjoying his time in Japan, and I think he's enjoying his time with the Buffaloes.
Well, the Buffaloes are, you know, his account meshes with what other people have said about the team, that it's very low-key. It's almost your prototypical old Pacific League team,
mm-hmm.
in a sense that nobody really, you know, they don't have an overbearing fan base. Everybody's just happy that they're there, and the guys are not really in the limelight. You know, this is the, you know, like Ichiro Suzuki sort of like made the franchise in the 90s.
Right.
And they were still nobody. Even with Ichiro Suzuki, they were nobody. You know,
there were Suzuki and the guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ichiro and the guys.
Ichiro and a bunch of other people playing behind him who just happened to be wearing the same uniforms.
Yeah. How come you're batting? How come Ichiro is not batting again?
So for those of you who might not remember the Ichiro phenomena back in 1994 and 1995, he would, I remember the Fighters would sell out, but I remember the first time the Fighters sold out a weeknight home game.
This was been at Tokyo Dome, as I was going to say. Go ahead.
They called it a weeknight home game, and the crowd would disappear. The crowd would disappear after Ichiro's last at bat. You know, perhaps in the top of the if he batted in the eighth inning, half the crowd would disappear. regardless of what the score of the game was.
Whoosh.
And when he would warm up between innings in right field, all the fans in that quarter of the dome would congregate as close as they could to the foul pole, take pictures of Ichiro. And then the ushers had to, like, you know, chase him back up into their seats.
Get out of my yard!
That's right, exactly. You crazy kids. So, yeah, exactly. So it was quite a phenomenon. But the Blue Wave really have had no respect at any time, and Oryx is really no different now. But, yeah, it's a low-key environment, and the guys are pretty good. And the guys he talked about are so much in the mold of the old Blue Wave team, which was a good team, to be honest, and yeah. Better than York.
Connie was on that team, right?
Sure. Tagushi, a lot of guys.
Yeah, I mean, they had good players. No surprise that they actually won.
And they had a good manager as well in Akira Ogi, who for went a stretch of about 15, I'm going to say, I'm just guessing, it was about 12 years in which he never had a losing record. And he managed Kintetsu, and he managed Oryx. And although Oryx was a good team when he got him, he just made him a better team.
Right.
It wasn't until he was near death, unfortunately, that the things started to slip away from him.
So. Unfortunately, yeah.
Okay. So anyway, this is the Oryx team, and it hasn't changed a lot, and it was interesting to hear his perspective. It is interesting to hear his perspective on that.
Yeah, he's a guy who pitches to contact and keeps the defense really busy behind him. And, you know, he tries to execute pitches and get guys to go after a lot of pitches that are maybe disguised as strikes, but not so much as strikes. But it was fun talking to him. Let's take a listen to the interview. So, with Evan McLean.
Yes.
Now, tell me about pitching on this team when you guys have some struggles sometimes. I mean, second place last year, it looked like you guys were going to climb back up into the...
Yeah, man. Last year was a heartbreaker for us. I mean, we lost on the last day of the season. You know, all we had to do was tie or win, and we were gone. But, I mean, I don't know. It's tough. You know, we know the position players, they're working their butts off, and we just got to do the same thing. We have to, you know, take care of our half of the game, and they got to take care of their half, and let's hope we just kind of gel together, you know? Like, a lot of times this year, we've had good pitching, but not the hitting. And then and the next day, we got good hitting, and the pitching kind of struggled. So it's like, we've never really clicked as a team yet. And I think, you know, there's still a lot of time left, and I think we still have time to do that.
Is this just a bad start?
Ah, man, I feel like it's a repeat of last year. I mean, that's kind of how it started last year, and then everyone started coming together and playing really well, and we went on a really good run towards the end of the year and, you know, came up a little bit short. So I think we definitely have the potential to do that again.
Now, you guys finished second in interleague play last year, and interleague play actually got you started on a good track.
Yeah, let's hope we can repeat that. Like I said, you know, I mean, we a lot of good things are happening for us right now, so, you know, we just got to keep it going.
One of the things that I noticed was that last year, not just during interleague, but after interleague, with Okada getting hot, that was the key to your team, and he's been gone for a while.
Yeah, it was Okada plus it was Goto getting hot, and then those guys just started clicking and hitting every day, and it was like, oh man, and then our team just kind of grew in confidence, and we just took off from there. It was great. I mean, everyone noticed it, and everyone felt that they had to do a little extra, and everyone kind of came together. It was awesome.
There's been some talk that because of guys like Darvish leaving from the Fighters and the Hawks losing all their pitchers, the three pitchers that they lost, that the Central League is going to be able to compete pitching-wise this year.
I don't know. I mean, you just look at what's going on now. I mean, the Hawks, I feel like they haven't really missed a beat since they lost their guys. But I don't know. I guess this next month will tell us what's going on. So, I mean, who knows? It's definitely up in the air. So.
Do you guys get time to look, and how do they prepare you for the Central League when Interleague's coming up?
Well, they don't want to, you know, want to get too much into it because, you know, we're only going to be playing these guys, what, four games each, two at home, two on the road. And so, you know, yeah, we just want to go out there and pitch our game and just compete just like we have been.
Now, you've pitched against everybody in the Pacific League. Who are some of the guys you're impressed with, pitching-wise?
Me facing them?
Just guys you've seen who, you know, that guy's good.
Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, I feel like everybody. I mean, there really hasn't been a guy like, man, you know, I don't know about him, but everyone I've seen, I mean, everyone can locate, everyone can throw all their pitches, and they're tough. All these pitches are really tough. So I can't, there's no one that really stands out, but it's just, it's everybody. Everybody to me is pitching really well.
Now, what about this team here? It seems like sometimes management is going in one direction, the field manager's got his own ideas, and the players are going in a different direction. Is everybody going in the same direction at least?
I don't know too much about that. I try and just stick to the pitchers. I mean, again, I'm not getting into their business. I don't know what's going on, but, you know, bottom line is we all need to work together to win. And, you know, the sooner we can do that, and I feel like it's going pretty good. I don't think it's really as bad as, you know, maybe you might have heard or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, I don't want to look too much into that because that's definitely not my thing. So,
all right.
You know, we're a good team, and we got a good bunch of guys on this team. So we just got to start gelling a little bit, and we'll be fine.
What kind of team is it? Obviously, nobody's hitting a lot of home runs, and you guys aren't particularly fast. So what kind of team are you guys?
It's just a team that needs to hit, you know, that we need to get people on base. And you know, sometimes we'll get that. We'll get a couple guys on base, but then we can't get that one more hit. You know, I think we're just missing that one more hit, and I think, just a little bit more playing time, and we're almost there. You know what I mean? We're right there. So, you know, a little bit more confidence, and I think we'll be fine.
All right, maybe Interleague will get you going.
I hope so, yeah. I mean, I'm excited. It's cool to play some different teams, and who knows, maybe have some pitchers get some hits here, huh? We'll see.
All right, take your best swing. Right.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right, thanks.
All right, well, thanks again, Evan. We really appreciate you taking the time to chat.
I don't get to see the Oryx Buffaloes often enough because it is fun to go out and see the different teams, but they're hard to catch because of the lack of Pacific League teams in Tokyo Dome.
Right. So he talked about last year. I mean, the first thing he talked about was last year and how they failed to get the job done in that final game and lost by percentage. What was it, a tenth of a percentage point or something crazy, that they weren't able to get into the playoffs last year.
Well, it happens to somebody every year, so.
Right. But then he talked about the team not being able to hit when they're pitching well and not being able to pitch when they're hitting well. But to me, that's the sign of a bad team. A troubled team. I mean, when pitchers can't hold people down and you score runs and then you don't score runs and the pitchers hold people down. It just that rhythm that you can't find that rhythm, and it's a rhythm thing, I think.
I think it is a rhythm thing, but I don't think it's a sign of a bad team.
Well, for me, it is. I mean, you know, I've seen it before with teams that struggle and they end up being really bad, and it's that rut that they get into where they can't score, and when they do.
Teams that do that struggle. There aren't teams that do that that don't struggle. It's a logical mismatch.
Well, look at the Dragons. They don't score a lot of runs, or look at what they did last year. They didn't score a lot of runs at all. So it wasn't like they went out and scored runs and then the pitchers gave it up. They just didn't score runs at all. And sometimes the pitchers pitched well and they won, and sometimes the pitchers didn't pitch well and they lost. But I wouldn't say they were in a rut where they were a bad team. They just didn't get wins a lot of times, or sometimes they got a bunch of wins.
But I'm just saying.
I think it can be different. I don't think.
I'm just saying that I hear this all the time, and there is something to it. I mean, there is that. There is something to it, but I'm not going to come out and label everybody who doesn't happen to score runs in those times. Usually, when people complain about the, you know, I understand what's going on. When people complain saying, we hit when we don't pitch, and we pitch when we don't hit. Or the other way around.
Both.
Okay,
difference.
Well, it isn't. We don't hit when we pitch, and we hit, whatever. Anyway,
something, so like the that. Something with a bat and a ball.
They're scoring runs when they give up way too many, and they're holding guys they're keeping runs off the board when they can't score at all. Okay, this happens. Is it the mark of a bad team? That's kind of a broad generalization. It happens to everybody. It happens to bad teams more often because A, bad teams don't pitch as well as good teams, and B, bad teams don't hit as well as good teams.
Yeah, well, that's something I wanted to get into. I mean, I wasn't just making the statement just because it was happening to them at the time. I mean, they have, what, a 30 run, or the run differential is minus 30.
Okay.
All right, their ERA in the Pacific League is second to last. Their home runs are maybe middle of the pack at 23. I think if they hit any on Sunday, I wasn't able to check. You know, they don't steal a lot of bases. That's one of the things I asked them about. They don't even get a lot of walks. I mean, they don't have that many guys batting in with a 300 on base percentage. I think there's like, of the starters, there's like three of them, and one of them is Lee. And the other two are Baldarese and Obiki. Obiki's like 307. So they're not really even getting on base that much. So when he said they need to hit, this is a team that really needs to hit because they don't do much of anything else. So if they don't, you know, he said they couldn't get that one last hit to get a run over or to get a guy in because there's no too many guys on.
Hit. But you know, this is like the my favorite one, you know, the two complaints, we just need better situational hitting. And okay, that's true. I mean, situational hitting makes up for a lot of, you know, it's like the perfect pitch.
Mm-hmm.
That a guy makes when he's kind of around, you know, his control's okay, but you know, it's not good enough to get you through the game, but now and then you can just have this perfectly located pitch at the right time. That's situational hitting. It's situational performance. It helps, but it ain't going to win nothing unless you have guys on base. I mean, right. If you don't create enough opportunities, it's not going to matter. It's the dumb one that one often hears is my favorite example, former Buffalo's manager saying one day, you can't win leaving 10 guys on base.
Well, you can if you knock 10 in.
Well, exactly. Because a team that, I'll tell you, if you left 10 guys on base every day, you'd be in first place. Because if you had that many base runners on
a regular basis.
Yeah. If you left 10 guys on base, I swear you'd probably have an 800 winning percentage.
Yeah.
So it's a silly thing to say. There was in no irony, the following day they left 14 guys on base and they just kicked the living daylights out of somebody.
Right.
Because leaving people on base is a mark of a good team because they get people on base.
Right. Right.
So anyway, it's, you know, there's all these little things that people pick up on as being make or break things, and they're not really. Or they're absolutely the opposite of what they think. What they're saying is, we need the one hit. That's a house of cards strategy.
Yeah.
If you got no hits, then you absolutely need the one hit. Everybody needs the one hit.
Well, they probably need one guy to really start hitting, and that's Goto. And Evan talked about how he got hot last year. We know about his hitting string that he had last year. But, you know, Okada's been hurt. He's been out with the bad hammy. Sakaguchi got hurt with the shoulder. He's going to be gone for a while. Goto's not hitting. And I think more than anything, that's what's costing this team. Those were two key guys who, in Goto and Okada, who really helped them last year make that run in the second half. And I don't even know when Okada's going to be back.
Well, they don't. I think Oryx is sort of all around. You know, they're an all around problem. They don't hit particularly well, and they don't pitch particularly well. They do have guys who are good players, but there's just now, are they a bad team? Yeah, I think they are because they have the elements. I mean, they do have guys who can hit, who should be able to hit better. They have guys who I don't think they're playing up to their potential. Now, why is a good question. I don't know.
I agree with that. Yeah.
I don't disagree with your conclusion about Oryx.
I disagreed with your method,
mm-hmm. But certainly this does happen with teams that are bad because they don't hit and they don't pitch. That's why they have these awful streaks, and they need these, you know, they talk about needing clutch hits, and they talk about needing the clutch pitching performances at key times. Anyway, but yeah, it is something that happens, but I do agree with your conclusion. I don't think Oryx is all that good of a team. They have the good components, and they have enough good components that, you know, Lidaho and Baldurus, they're both really good players. And I think a lot of, we think a lot of their catcher, who was a...
Nice. Ding, 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 ding. Well, yeah, they've had catching problems. We know Ito has not been around. If you have to put a level C catcher like Suzuki back there and play him every day, you're going to have problems. Their pitching, when Evan said they're a team that needs to hit, I think so. Yeah, that's part of the problem. But I think it's more that it's a team that needs to pitch.
Their
starting pitching has just been inconsistent. I'm not going to say awful, but it's been inconsistent. Lost another guy, right? Kisanuki got injured and he was deactivated over the weekend. So, I mean, it's not looking good for them.
It is not. They do have, and again, they have all the components. They have guys who have shown flashes of brilliance. Komatsu had one great year, and Kishida, the reliever, is pretty good. Has been these guys who
Kondo, Nakayama pitched well in spots.
Yotakatsuki,
Nishi,
of course, Kaneko and Hirano looked pretty good in relief after having a shoulder surgery a couple of years ago.
Yep.
So these guys, they've got a bunch of guys who can throw, but they have not put it together the way a couple of other teams in similar situations like Yakult and Lotte. I say Lotte really because their pitching has really come around. When it was terrible a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it was, and you're right, it has. But...
So, yeah, these teams have put the pieces together, and Oryx is, the thing that we say when we say we have trouble with picking Oryx to do anything is they seem to have an inordinate amount of trouble putting the pieces together.
I think fitting him into the puzzle. I think a guy like Figueroa, I like Figueroa, and I've seen some good things with him, and I just, the way they treat him.
Yeah.
And mess with his head is not helping facilitate him coming out there and being productive all the time.
Well, some of this could be the fact that, they just have so many guys that are higher up in the ranking, and then I have no clue what they're up to. I'm not surprised that the way the team has developed under Okada. Under Okada, the manager, they had a big problem that Takahiro Okada really hasn't taken a step forward. He's had injury troubles for the last year and a half. He really hasn't taken a step forward from that monster year he had 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Sakaguchi's a great player. He's probably out for most of the season. Obiki's never really developed into the player that we thought he was going to be.
I agree with that because I really liked him when he came up and first started getting a lot of playing time, and he's still the same guy.
Well, Goto, I'll tell you, Goto was the same. Goto is a guy who basically took a bunch of baby steps until he was about 29. And then he flowered a little. He was a bit of a late bloomer, even though he was a first round pick out of high school.
Yeah. Well, the Buffaloes, they lost on Sunday. And again, and it was something I wrote about earlier in this. Well, after I did this interview, actually, that next week, I think the story came out in the paper, but I said that they're having trouble finishing games. And I asked, the coach, Tashiro coach, I asked him, I said, is it a mental thing? Is it a mental block thing? Because it seems like you're in the game. And then, the last three innings, something happens and you lose. And that's what happened today. They were in the game and then they were winning and then things broke down. They gave up the lead. They ended up losing. So I guess we can move on to the next topic. I don't think that we can beat this dead horse anymore. But the one thing that he said about the Hawks, when I asked him about the Hawks pitching, is something else I wanted to get into, because at the time, things were going okay for the Hawks. They were. If not in first place, right on the verge.
You timed that really well. Then they rolled right off the table.
And then they had, their longest losing streak in 14 seasons,
16 seasons,
1996. All right, I saw that. The last one I wrote about on the blog was...
Or perhaps if they had lost, it would have been until since 1996. And anyone who was around that year... That was a memorable losing streak. the Hawks team bus was pelted with it. They were an old Osaka team, and I think they were playing a home game in Osaka.
Uh-huh.
When they were the Daiei Hawks, and this was, I believe, O's second year as manager. And in the losing streak, they were pelted by, their team bus was pelted by eggs from their fans who were fed up with their losing.
Beautiful.
And they moved to Fukuoka, but they lost as well.
Get out of here with that stuff there.
Yeah. So anyway, things were really bad. And then fortunately, they might still be there if it weren't for the Hiroshima Carp. Because that's where they stopped winning the last time they played the Hiroshima Carp.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started winning the next time they played the Hiroshima Carp, and they didn't win in between.
Yeah.
And they haven't beaten the Carp, they haven't lost to the Carp since in June 2010.
Good grief.
So, who says Hiroshima is, it's a city of peace. They love everybody. They can't beat anybody.
Yeah, so it was an 8-game losing skid, was their longest since 1998.
Right.
So 14 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the pitchers, that we talked about, I asked him about pitchers, and
right.
Obviously the Hawks lost 3 of their starters.
Sure.
And I went through and I counted, and they've had 9. The Hawks starting pitcher, they started 9 guys this season already. And their combined records as starters is 17-17.
Okay.
So that's not bad. It's not great.
Okay.
Setsu is 6-2, and then everybody else is pretty much right around 300. I'm sorry, right around 500. Either one game up or one game below, except for Iwasaki, who's 3-6. And so they're having their troubles, and they fell to just 1.5 games ahead or out of last place, but they're in 4th place. And, I still think they're good. I don't think this is a bad team.
No, I don't think so either.
I can't remember if I predicted them, they would finish 2nd or 3rd, but I picked them to finish in the playoffs. And
well, I think what we have to do just to look at the Hawks rotation, I think here's 2 names you want to think about. When you look at where they are. One is Brad Penny, and the other is Kazuyuki Hoashi.
Hoashi, yes, that's what I was going to get to. This is a guy who's won what? He's won 10 games or more, 3 times or 4 times?
Those two have combined for 2 starts.
2.
In which the Hawks allowed 11 runs between them.
Yeah, no wins. 0-2 in those 2 starts. But Hoashi was the guy I wanted to get to, because this is a guy, like I said, he 4 times he's won in double digits. He had 9 wins last year with the Lions.
Yep, nothing went right for the Lions.
Yeah, and I expected him to be contributing with them, and it's just not happening for them. And then 5 times this guy threw more than 150 innings in a season.
Well, it ain't going to happen this year.
Yeah, doesn't look like he's out there. So, I mean, This team, it's missing, it's lacking. But then you got guys like Arakaki Nagisa, who has
not pitched a lot, but he has pitched, well, actually he has. He's pretty much been in the rotation, hasn't he?
Right. I mean, he's okay. He's not bad. Yeah.
He's been okay. And, of course, Otanari's been having a very good year. Shall we add him up? Okay, we have Brad Penny, Hiroki Yamada, Hoashi, that's 3. Keisuke Kato, that's 4. Kenji Otanari, that's 5. Kodai Senga, that's 6. Nagasaki Arakaki, that's 7.
You got Iwasaki? I don't think.
Not yet. Rinyal Pinto, that's 8. Shingo Tatsumi, that's 9. Shohei Iwasaki, that's 10.
I didn't see Iwasaki even. And then Oba. Oba started today.
Oba, that's 11. And Setsu is 12.
That's a mess.
That's 12 different starting pitchers in 57 games.
Yeah, that's a mess. That's a mess.
But they're not out of it. They've got a good team. They've got Cabrera came back with a thud.
Yes, he did.
Or a thunder. And Pena, who pretty much didn't hit the first half of Interleague, has started hitting again.
Right.
And let's see what else. Of course, they were missing Honda for a good part at the beginning of the season. and Kokobo's out, which is I don't think a big loss to be sure. He was barely playing, but
yeah, and he wasn't doing that much. Just a singles hitter, right?
Although, you know who's looked alive for the first time in 3 years is Yuya Hasegawa in center field.
I don't know about the first time in 3 years. He didn't do all that much last year, but he did play some when Uchikawa got injured, and he did produce a little bit here and there.
True.
And the year before, I think, was the breakout year.
Boy, if Tummer ever shows up, this team could be deadly again.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like it's a bad team. They're just having a rough stretch. But
sure.
And then the shortstop, Akashi Kenji,
yeah,
was injured and was deactivated, and he's been at least playing the position fairly well, so.
Has he? You know, he's kind of a funny, he's a favorite player of mine because I like these players with really odd statistical, signatures.
Uh-huh.
And I'll give two examples. Masato Nakamura with the Eagles was a minor leaguer who walked about twice as often as he struck out.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. And I talked to Jose Fernandez about him when he was with the Eagles a few years back. And he said, you know, I don't know much about him. He's been in the minors, but next time I saw him, he says, you know, this guy's really got a plan at the plate. He knows what he's doing. He has good at bats. And I said, you know, he doesn't look like an outstanding player. He doesn't look like a big athlete, but
mm-hmm.
he knows what he's doing. He's got something upstairs, which is a skill. Now, Kenji Akashi, to finish the story, is one of these guys who has a bizarre path through the minors. This is the guy who hit more triples than doubles.
Oh, that's the guy. Okay, I remember you talking about somebody a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, they had him stealing. He did try to steal a lot of bases. He's not a particularly good base stealer, but this guy can fly. And he just hits and he puts the ball in the in play and runs like heck. And he hasn't been able to repeat that in the Pacific League for the reason that people play better defense in the Pacific League than they do in the Western League.
But
he's a real interesting guy because of that. Although he hasn't hit all the triples that I would have hoped to see. But anyway, so that's Kenji Akashi, and he's a fun player. And Deanna, who does this great. Used to do her great blog here in Japan, and is still a big fan of Japanese baseball in the States and the Mariners. You know, I mentioned Kenji Akashi, and her eyes lit up, and she's like, "Oh, I love Kenji Akashi." So,
all right, glad,
but good to know we're not in a vacuum. Anyway, so Kenji Akashi. So, how do you like his defense? He was basically a third baseman and outfielder in the minors.
I haven't seen him. I haven't been able to concentrate on his defense, per se. I just when I see them play games, and you know, having seen Kawasaki play the spot for so long, I like the way Akashi gets to the ball quickly and his footwork and getting the ball to first base because he has a better arm, I think.
Oh, interesting.
And but he twisted himself the wrong way the other day trying to show that arm off, and I think it was he had a back issue, and that's why he got deactivated. So maybe they're going to change his footwork a little bit and have him step toward the bag a little bit better. It was a running play where he had to come in on a ball that was kind of hit to his right, and he had to throw back across his body to the left to first base, and he twisted himself. So. I think he's a little cocky guy, though. I don't know about how.
Looks like he can play, though, you know.
Looks like he can play. He's really cocky.
He did have trouble making the adjustment. It's hard to make an adjustment, as so many minor leaguers do, when their playing time, you know, they get a trial in the first team, and it consists of three pinch-hit at bats and a couple of times in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And he never really made the adjustment, but he looks like he's starting to draw walks like crazy. He still strikes out a lot, but he's got his the triples are coming.
Yeah, he's got speed.
Got his average up a little bit. Okay.
All right, so let's move on to talk about Interleague now. It was 2009. Way back in 2009.
Back in the day
when collectively the Central League had more wins than the Pacific League, and it looks like it's not going to happen again this year.
Even with dire predictions of the Pacific League's impending doom.
Blah, blah, blah. So much for that. But it's still close. It still could happen. It's the Pacific League has 54 wins as of Sunday, and the Central League has 48, and there have been 9 ties. Now, the Giants looked like they were, you know, in the driver's seat a week ago. In fact, I wanted to talk about it, but we nixed it off the show because we ran out of time.
No Nixon tonight, baby.
No Nixon tonight, yes. I did not sleep with that. No, that's a different president. Anyway.
What? Okay, we're just moving along, folks.
Moving right along. So they were at 11-3, and it looked like they were rolling along, and it was gonna be safe to predict them as the first Central League interleague champion. And then along came the Marines, and they just stopped losing games. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're moving up the standings, and they played the Giants on Sunday, and they beat them. Nadose goes the distance in a 2-1 victory. He throws a gem. They're only one game back, and they're going to play again on Monday. So Lotte finishes up with Hiroshima and then Hanshin.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at just the schedule,
a couple of teams, that,
and they get to play them both at home.
Wow.
Now the Giants are going to play the Fighters, and then they're going to play the Eagles.
Okay.
They're going to finish up at the Kleenex box up there in Sendai.
Gorgeous Kleenex.
Yeah. Now the Fighters are the only other team they're in third place as we're speaking,
mm-hmm.
and they are playing the Giants as we just said, and then they're mm-hmm. going to play the Swallows.
Mm-hmm.
So. I don't know who has the advantage. I guess it's Lotte. I'm gonna say that they have the best chance to win Interleague, and it's gonna be another year where no Central League team can figure out a way how to win this Interleague thing.
We've had a couple of cases where Central League teams came close. Giants came close one year. The Swallows came close one year. Dragons came close one year.
The Swallows, finished in second place in 2009 and in 2006.
Sure. But
the Giants were second in 2007.
How many times has Lotte won? This would be the third time if they win.
This would be the third time, but this is the interesting thing about Lotte. They either win it or they're not in the top three.
Wow.
In 2005, 2006, they won, and they've never finished second or third.
Mm.
SoftBank has won 3 times. They finished second in 2005, and they finished third in 2010.
Mm.
And the Fighters have finished third twice and won it once. So, I mean, yeah.
You know, I don't know what this has to do with anything, but one of the things that I've talked about, and I think Trey Hillman tuned me into this, and Marty Brown as well, although a few years later, was that one of the things in Interleague, and I don't really know how much of a thing to make of it. But we talked about the Pacific League losing all its pitchers. Certainly, it seemed like if there was a year when the Central League could dominate, this would be it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, things have happened, and the Central League isn't dominating. And I think we have to look at a couple of other things. Of course, the other is that the Pacific League pitching might still be better, even without Darvish and Sugiuchi and Wada. And Iwakuma and Sugiuchi and Holton pitching in the Central League. It still might be better, but I think we may have to consider the other thing is the travel.
Yeah, I remember Trey talking about that.
And when Marty Brown went from the Central League to the Pacific League, one day the Eagles, we were at Cebu Dome,
mm-hmm.
and the Eagles beat writer came up to me and said, "Can you ask Marty Brown, what's the biggest difference between the Central League and the Pacific League?" And he said, "Travel, travel, travel. These guys fly and travel so much more. They fly so much more
mm-hmm.
than Central League teams. They are so used to getting in and out and getting in and out that I think when you have this situation, I mean, the Central League teams in their of course they play at remote ballparks, but when they're playing at their home parks, or, you know, let's say the Tigers are playing a couple of games in Osaka,
mm-hmm.
At the Kyocera Dome, they ride the Shinkansen.
Yeah.
They take the train. There's no going to the airport an hour early 2 hours early to be on a flight, and then going from a remote airport to this and that, except in Interleague. This is what the Pacific League guys do all the time. And Marty, it wore him out. I mean, I don't think it wore him. That's a rude thing to say, but it was a burden on him.
It's taxing.
And these Pacific League guys are a little more used to it. And Trey said, you know, the fighters, they do this in spring. You know, they play, their preseason schedule, they fly back and forth between Hiroshima and Sapporo and Fukuoka and Sapporo and Tokyo and Sapporo. They must fly back and forth 2-3 times during the spring.
They jump around so much that they're used to getting on the ground and, you know, jumping into play. Yeah.
And I think just these 2 games here and 2 games there and the days off and everything, it just messes up the Central League teams. I think, on top of everything else, that's a burden that I don't see how they'll ever adjust to it. It's sort of like the WBC, you know, holding the WBC in March when the Koreans and the Japanese are the teams that have been training for 3 months.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. Well, you know, I remember Trey talking about that and him saying at one point that his team, because I think the number is reduced since then, but the fighters used to play a lot of games, a lot of home games at Tokyo Dome still.
True.
And that they are not doing as many games as before. They're not playing as many games as they used to there, but still he said at one point they hadn't been home in a month, that
right.
They had traveled so much that they hadn't been home in a month. And you're right. Yeah. I remember him talking about that and it does take its toll, I think, in the long term. And, you know, it seems like the Giants started out Interleague and the Dragons started out playing Interleague and they were a lot more effective and they seem to be falling off at the moment, both sides. Both
and the teams. Lions? Lions are picking it up?
The Lions are picking up, the Marines are picking up, and the Fighters are picking it up. So.
And I want to mention something here is that the Pacific League teams, how many teams are playing better on the road this year than at home? It's really weird. It's eerie.
I haven't looked at that.
Yeah, the Fighters have a better road record. The Eagles, who traditionally have been a tremendously good home team, have a better record. Everybody else is about normal, about what you'd expect. But the Lions are 7-14 at home this year, and they're a 500 team on the road. So I don't know what's going on there.
So they're mediocre at home, and they're terrible at home, and they're mediocre on the road.
And you're not seeing that. We're not seeing that in the Pacific. Actually, I'm only looking at the Central League and Interleague. I don't know what it means, but it's kind of peculiar. This thing is going to happen now and then, because we have 12 teams.
Right.
So if somebody's good at home and bad on the road, it's going to mess up the whole dynamic for pretty much the rest of the league.
It's going to pick the standings. Well,
okay.
So, you know, obviously I wanted to see, I said before at the beginning that I wanted to see a Central League team win interleague play. I'm not so sure I'd like to see the Giants do it, but hey.
Hey, why not? It would be different.
Why not? It would be different.
The Giants have some issues, you know, as they go down the road. I mean, who's going to be the starting pitcher? They've got basically Sugi Utsumi have been outstanding.
You mean who's going to be the ace?
Well, no. Who's going to be the ace is Sugiuchi right now. But Sawamura has been a hole.
There's been a problem, yeah. And I predicted that kid would be the standout this year and he was going to take over for Darvish and blah, blah, blah. And it's not really happening for him.
It is not. And, I mean, Utsumi's been very good. DJ's had some very good games. His last one was pretty good.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's pitched a couple of games very well. Today was pretty good. So it's just, it's that Sawamura, you know, it's just like blowing up, he's just blowing up in their face. And Shuntono got a one start to see if his future with the Giants was secure, and I guess he was sent down today, so I guess the answer is no.
I was going to say it was wobbly, but I guess he fell. Yeah, it's funny how I keep mentioning things on the show, and they keep, you know, rearing their ugly heads, like, you know, teams are not scoring runs, and then boom, you know, teams start scoring runs, and then I said, Shun Tono is missing in action, and then he shows up. And
Did you by any chance predict that Takeya Nakamura's career was over?
No, I haven't done that yet. That was good. That's some things I can't mispredict everything, I guess.
He's on
as hard as I try.
he's on a tear.
Well, today, what did he hit? His 50th home run in interleague play, and that's
sure. That's
tops all time. So I mean,
sure. That's
what he does. He gets hot in interleague, and he punishes. And I was watching the game, and it was a Sunday's
yep.
game, and it was a Tony Barnett pitch, and he just misplaced it. He got it too far in the middle of the plate, right over the heart of the plate, and yeah, dead center. He just hit it where it was pitched, and
he was going to be the hero yesterday, and Nakamura stole a base that was crucial.
Mm.
And I didn't see it, so I just, you know, I felt it, because the office moved a little bit.
If he stole a base, I think the police would be called in, because it was armed robbery.
He steals a base or two every year, like when Alex Ramirez, when people aren't looking.
Well, my favorite line is, that guy to steal a base, he needs a mask and a gun.
Yeah, so we've heard it.
Yes.
But it's still good. We're
Thank
still
you.
Cheering for you, John.
Good.
Keep it up.
Ooh.
And anyway, so, and then in contrast, I was happened to be writing this story yesterday, and Nakamura was set up to be the hero, and then here comes Murata, and Murata how can you be the hero when you swing at a pitch that's four or five inches out of the zone? You're off balance. You get the end of the bat on the ball, and it goes into left field, and you're the hero.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like going, I didn't have very good results today, and I had a lousy swing, but it all worked out. You had five bad at-bats. And today he had a chance to win it again, and fortunately, you know, he swung at exactly the same pitch, and hit it back to Naruse, or he hit it to the infield. It was an infield out, but you know, it's like I was so glad. I'm saying if you get a hit off of this, if you tie the game by hitting this same pitch, this slider 2 inches off the dirt. I'm going to just be so annoyed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we talked about it before. I asked players, would they rather have the bloop hit or the line drive in a game situation? And they always say, yeah, I'd rather have the hit, the bloop hit, but, you know, line drives feel better. But, you know, it's not about feelings. It's about results. So, and
Yep. Speaking
of results, we had the one thing that I did mention last week was that Tetsuya Yamaguchi of the Yomiuri Giants had a scoreless string from the start of the season.
We jinxed him.
24 straight appearances without allowing a run, and it ended.
What a shock.
This past week with a guy who, we brought that up last week, and a guy who now has three career home runs hit a home run off him, and who was it?
Kenji Akashi,
the aforementioned. We talked about him of the SoftBank Hawks, and then he got deactivated with the bad back. So, I mean, what is it we're doing here? Is it you? Is it me? Is it you? Is it me?
We're the jinx machine, man.
We're the jinx machine. Well, another hitting machine came back to join his team. That's Vladimir Ballantyne. He came back with the Yakult Swallows this past week after Twittergate, we'll call it Twittergate. Thanks a lot, Michael.
Exactly, Mike. Good one.
He hits a home run in his first at bat. Was it the first at bat?
Yeah,
it was first at bat.
It was, and it said the Nikon Sports had a great headline. It said, I forget what it was, Gaya Seki Maratsita, which is it arrived in the outfield seats, but it sounded like Twitter.
Right. It arrived in the outfield via Twitter.
Yeah. He didn't mail it in, baby.
But I thought it was really funny that he used Twitter to announce that he was coming back from a demotion that was in part because of Twitter.
Right.
I'm like, Yeah, see, I learned my lesson.
Well, but he didn't do it during, he didn't do it while he was in the on deck circle.
Because he wasn't there yet. He was on the way.
Okay. Well, give him credit.
He just hadn't gotten there yet. Okay. Now, but he went 0 for 4, I think 0 for 4 on Sunday. So, and he didn't even hit the ball out of the outfield, so.
Out of the outfield?
Out of the infield. He didn't hit the ball out of the infield. That would make more sense.
Okay.
And we hope that he gets on track and keeps his fingers off the phone until games are over. And,
okay, I'm not telling people what to do with their fingers.
Now, the latest, one other piece of news we wanted to get to, which hopefully we can do an interview with him this week, is Hanshin Tigers' Matt Mertin had an incident this past weekend with what, teammates? The media and the skipper, I don't know.
It's hard to know. Actually, there were there were lots of weird things going on this week in Kansai. The first one I think we need to talk about because it was so funny was the, on Friday night, the Tigers and Buffaloes were in a game and the Buffaloes took a one run lead in the top of the fourth inning. At this point it starts pouring down rain. In the top of the fifth, it looks like, you know, this game ain't gonna last.
Right.
Okay, and the Buffaloes are out there, you know, they got the first batter, the second batter in the on deck circle, the umpires are all standing out the bases. The only thing that's missing are the Hanshin Tigers. They're not going out to play defense.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, like, what's going on? And Okada's, there's a picture again in the Nikon Sports of Akinobu Okada, the Oryx skipper, hard to say, hard to keep track of that.
Because he used to be the Hanshin kipper, yeah.
he was a kipper as well, yes. So no more fish, thanks. Okay, so anyway, he's holding up, he's looking at the umpire and holding up his wristwatch to show, like, these guys are late. It took him a few minutes to get out there. And it was pretty, you know, it was pretty much gamesmanship. And the odd thing was the Tigers manager said, yes, it's a shame all these fans came out in the rain to see us muck about, you know, to do what? You know, do an Ochiai thing, make a mockery of the game. So I'm not certain what Wada was on about that. I like Wada, and so I'll have to ask him about that. He might not be happy to hear the question, though.
Right.
Anyway, so that happened, and the Buffaloes filed a protest. Of course, it's not much of a protest because they won the game. Well, actually, the Tigers came back to win the game. The Tigers won 3-1. So It was 3-1 because the Tigers came back and the game was not stopped. If the game had been stopped in the bottom of the fifth, the Buffaloes would have won.
Right.
Okay. So anyway, so that happened on Friday, and then on Saturday in the finale of that series, Matt Markin makes a play. I do not see it. But apparently he misplayed a ball or he did something.
He threw wildly to third, I think.
Okay.
He could have thrown a second to possibly make a close play, I believe.
Okay.
That's what the article said.
Now, we don't know what he said because we haven't talked to him yet, but he said something and his interpreter said, yes, translated in the Japanese media saying, I hate Atsushi no... hate Nomi-san, Tigers pitcher Atsushi Nomi, and it doesn't matter to me if we give up a double when he's pitching, or if the other guys score.
Right, and the article that I saw actually had the katakana pronunciation saying, I don't like Nomi-san, is what the katakana pronunciation read.
Right. Okay, and his interpreter said, yes, it was a joke, and he said, it was a joke. It wasn't meant as criticism of Nomi. And the team met with him today, and we'll hear about that. The team president said, you know, don't say things that will lead to misunderstandings in the future, and please be careful, in which he was full of apologies, reportedly.
Mm-hmm.
And the team said there would be no punishment, but for the first time in over 2 months, Mertin was not in the starting lineup
today. Yeah, he did come on as a pinch hitter.
He'd come on as a pinch hitter in the eighth inning.
Right.
But, yep, the team said no hard feelings, but take a seat.
Right. Well, we all know Matt, and he was on the show before last year, and more than anything, I think he respects the game, first of all. And
yeah.
He respects people, and he respects his teammates and his responsibility. So this, to me, is a misunderstanding. I think he said it facetiously and as a joke, and
yeah.
It just didn't come over right. I think some of the reporters who heard it could speak a little bit of English or at least could understand that. That's pretty
right.
Easy to understand.
I think they knew it was a joke and they just printed it. And just because it's in print, it sound you don't know how it's taken.
Exactly. Or how it's said. Yeah. So,
right.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to him and clear it up this week. Hopefully.
Hopefully. So we'll get to ask Mr. Wada about his delay of game penalty.
Did he get a penalty? Was that 5 minutes for 5 minutes in the box?
No. He might get 5 minutes on the podcast next week, though.
We hope so.
We know what's worse for him.
And we want to give you guys your 5 minutes, at least 1 minute, five times on the podcast. So email us at yakyujohn@gmail.com and send us your questions. Or you can put something on the Facebook page, comment there, and I'll read it on the show. Or you can send us an MP3 file with your question, and we'll play it on the show.
Perfect.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Jim. Good job.
Thank you, Mr. Gibson. We'll look forward to doing this again next week.
Hopefully, I'm in King's Heaven. Hopefully. Got to get
King's,
one, baby. Got to get one.
King's Heaven.
King's Court. I don't know. Just win.
Okay. Okay. Just win.
Just win.
Okay.
Don't put me through another game like this.
Okay. Well, good luck to your team, sir.
All right, buddy. And good luck to yours.
Okay, cheers.
Have a good week. Enjoy your baseball.
Enjoy your hockey.